to remembrance the genuine faith, a genuine faith. Say genuine faith, you won't say that. That is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded or convinced, confident is another word for that. It is in you also. Therefore, because of your genuine faith, therefore, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And for, or because, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, this is Paul's last, these are some of Paul's last words. He knows he's about to face death. He's facing death. And he is writing this letter, these letters to Timothy, to shore him up, to encourage him to go forth. One of the things that I find very interesting, that phrase, stir up the gift, actually means, first of all, it's present tense, so it's progressively rekindle the flame. Progressively, continuously rekindle the flame. Keep the flame alive. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you been keeping the flame alive? What is the gift that God has given you? What is the call that he has called you to? What is the assignment that he has given you? And are you continuously keeping it burning? And if not, I want you to just kind of wonder, why has the light gone out? Is it down to just a little ember burning? Because the joy is in knowing God has gifted you for us in a specific way. He's called you for a specific purpose. He's called you to a specific people. He's wired you in a specific way. And he said, I need you to continuously, progressively keep that flame burning. Keep it lit. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. I'm going to read that seventh verse from a couple of different translations so we can see it a little differently. The Amplified says this: for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving, of cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. The Common English Bible says it this way: God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. Now, this is a different translation, so listen. It says, the spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way: for God gave us a spirit who produces not timidity. It's a different way of translating it. He gave us a spirit. He gave us his spirit, some translations say, that does not produce timidity, because in this translation, spirit is capitalized, speaking of Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit does not produce fear. It's a different way of looking at it. We've already looked at that word spirit, and we've already heard that it can be a disposition or attitude. The word in Greek is pneuma, so it's the same word that is used for Holy Spirit. So both translations can be, remember, we're going this and that, not this or that. So I want you to see it in a different way. In this last translation, God's spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The spirit gives us but of power and of love and of wise discretion. So I want us to see this. Are you flaming the gift, or have you backed up off of what God has called you to do? Are you keeping it alive? Are you constantly on fire with the gift and the call on your life? Or have you, because of fear and a variety of other things, just kind of let it die down? Y'all quiet, but that's okay. Fear, timidity, the Greek word means lack of mental or moral strength, lacking courage, self-confidence, boldness, or determination. It means being reticent, having an inclination to be silent, or to not speak. Cowardice, lack of courage or resolution. I'm not sure. I don't think I need to. I think I hear God saying I should say this to this person. I think God is saying that I need to pivot into another career. Or I think God is saying that I need to, but I'm not sure. So I'm not going to say anything. Reticent. Lacking courage. Not resolute. Shameful fear. And it's generated by a weak, selfish character. That's the Greek word. The picture is one who's in a state of fear because of lack of courage and moral strength. I want to give you a couple of ways to dealing with this fear. We've already heard Apostle John and Pastor Jamal have laid it out wonderfully, but I want to shift our perspective and I want to ask you, where is your focus? Where is your focus? Psalm 27. Familiar passage. Where is your focus? Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. We could all quote it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I? Now, David is on the run. He got a crazy, jealous king seeking him. So he's a king with the whole Israel's, all of Israel's army behind him. And so what he does here in this moment is he says, wait a minute, I know this to be true. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I know this to be a reality. The Lord is the strength of my life. How many of you know that? So the focus isn't on Saul. The focus is not on being on the run. The focus is not on any of those things. But he's intentional about saying, the Lord is my light. He is my deliverer. He is my safe place. He is my salvation. So then the question comes, so whom am I going to fear? Let me give you this definition. That word fear in the Greek, in Hebrew, is yare. Y-A-R-E. Let me tell you what it means. I'm glad you asked what it means. To fear or to revere. It is the exact same word that is used when we speak of the fear of the Lord. To fear or revere, to be afraid, to stand in awe. And it connotes, it has this underlying meaning of a psychological reaction to fear. My mind is responding to a stimulus outside of me. And then it shows up in some other kinds of ways. I tremble, I cower, all of those other kinds of things. And it is used of a person. So an example, you can be afraid of someone or something. We look at Jacob when God says, go back, and he is afraid of Esau. So he's praying, don't let Esau get me. Fear of a person. It can also be a fear in a good sense of someone who is in a higher position. That's the standing in awe of. And usually when we have that fear, we have submitted to the thing that we're focused on, the thing or person we fear. So when David is saying, whom shall I fear? I think he's saying, I got a choice. Am I going to focus on the thing? Am I going to focus on the situation? Am I going to focus on what's going on in Washington? Am I going to focus on and let that be my fear and put reverence and stand in awe of that? Or am I going to place my fear, my reverence in the person that I know to be my light and my salvation? Where is my focus? Where is your focus? You hear all the stuff in the news. You watch all the stuff that's going on. Oh, and I'm not even going to speak it out in the atmosphere. Are we focusing on that? Are we focusing on the Lord who is our light and our salvation? Are we focusing on Israel and Russia and North Korea and China and all the stuff that's being said around everything that's going on? Is real, y'all. Yes, it's real. But I cannot focus there. I place my reverence, my awe, and submit to the one who is my light and my salvation. Second verse, we're going to talk about focus. And this is in Isaiah. Isaiah 8. And I'm starting with verse 8. Let me read it first out of the, I think I'm reading this one out of King James. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all the, that these people call a conspiracy. So in other words, he's saying, I don't want you walking the way everybody else around you is walking. I don't want you to fear everything everybody around you is fearing. Don't say what everybody around you is saying. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him shall you hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread, is the next word. And he will be a sanctuary. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. The Lord's mighty hand rested on me, and he warned me with these words not to act like these people. Don't act like everybody around you that's afraid. Everybody around you that says whatever they're saying that is not in line with what God is saying. God said, don't believe their every conspiracy rumor. And don't fear what they fear. Don't be moved or terrified. Fear nothing and no one except Yahweh, commander of the angel armies. Honor him as holy. Be in awe before him with deepest reverence. He will become for you a holy sanctuary. And then it goes on to say, but for everybody else that's fearing everything else that's out there, he's a stumbling block. Sanctuary, stumbling block. We get to choose. Where is your focus? We get to choose. And now I'm going to get to the meat of my message, I think. We are, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me coming into this month, just around the time Apostle John started talking about conquering fear, he gave me the word boldness. And I have been, over the past year or so, just kind of connecting some dots. You all recognize that God can give you something here, but it's usually connected to something he said here that's connected to something he said here that's connected to something he said here. And so we have to allow God some time to connect those dots. So looking at, and just watching things and listening to some of the prophetic words that were going forth, back in July, the word was build, rebuild, reconstruct, restore. Well, that's more than one word, but that was the word he gave me. And he spoke of building something that was not a replication of what the models that have been out there. So a lot of you in business, you got business coaches, and there is a model for how you build a business. And everybody teaches this model. You do this, you do this, you do this. It's the same. And God said, I'm going to give you the blueprint. I don't want you building it the way everybody else is building it. So here's what I want you to consider, just based on some of the things that have already transcribed this morning. Are you trying to build based on how everybody else is telling you to build? Or are you allowing God to give you the unique blueprint for what he has asked you to build in this season. Because if you've got his blueprint, then when everything else around you is failing or falling, yours will stand because you're following what he has told you. Then he said the next month, he gave me the word pivot. Build. I'm telling you what to build. I'm going to give you the blueprint. People are going to think you crazy for building it the way I'm telling you to build it, but they will be in awe because it's going to stand. But I need you to pivot. Make a shift. And for some of you, this is pivot time. Y'all need to make a shift. You're holding on, but God, you said it this way, but God is saying, no, pivot. Make that shift as I make the shift, and you'll be right in place. So as again, as things are falling all around us and things are failing, and if you make that pivot and build the way I'm telling you to build, then you will be able to stand and see the fruit of what I have called you to do in this season, and others will be coming to you. How did you do that? But you gotta pivot. You gotta be willing to make that pivot. So then we come into this month, and it's boldness was one of the words that he gave me. And so I want us to just really look at this word boldness, and we're gonna turn quickly. I'm gonna move quickly to Acts 4, a familiar passage of scripture. I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but we know Jesus has gone, ascended onto heaven. He has empowered his disciples. And in this chapter, well, chapter 3, Peter and John have healed the man who was standing outside the temple, and he was crippled. Now he can walk. And now they've been arrested. I want us to focus on a couple of verses here. Let's look at verse 13 first. New King James Version says it this way. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And the 14 says, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they couldn't say anything against it. The boldness was visible. The boldness was visible. And this word boldness in the Greek has to do with speech. The freedom to speak freely, to speak truth, to not be silent when something comes up. It's always related to speech. In ancient Greek, citizens, free citizens, had the right to speak out. We are citizens of the kingdom, and God has said, I've given you a right to speak boldly in the places that I have called you to go. But the interesting thing is, there's always evidence that accompanies the boldness. It says they were bold. The Sanhedrin observed that they were bold, and then they knew that they had been with Jesus, and they couldn't say anything because the crippled man was now walking. So we expect in our boldness that God's going to back us up to the point that it will stop the mouths of the enemy. Elijah, me and Elijah have been friends for a few months now. Elijah stands before a king. I don't know. He's just out of nowhere. He's got audience with the king. That's like me just going up to Buckingham Palace and like, I need to talk to King Charles. Not going to happen unless God says, I want you there. And this is what he says, Gaston version. It ain't going to rain, not a drop of dew till I say so. Not till God says so. He said, until I say so, drop the mic, walk away. God tells him to go to a place called Kerith Brook. Kerith means cutting. Now, it could have been for a place of protection, but I believe it was for a place of preparation. And some of you are in a cutting place, a place that seems very desolate and lonely, because God is trying to get you to understand that He alone is your source. He's cutting away pride. He's cutting away anything that's going to stand in the way, because you got a Mount Carmel to stand on. And if you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to stand and declare the God who answers by fire is God, and then stand back and watch all the antics. He's staying. So if you feel like you're being cut, if you feel like you're in a lonely place, and God is saying, I just trying to draw you closer so that I am your source. So you only, I was going to sing a song, I only have eyes for you. Okay. I got, so you only have eyes for me. God wants you in that place so that you are not depending on thinking it's you that's doing anything, and you know that it's God. I'm in this place. A bird that has been declared unclean is bringing me food every day. And then finally, when the brook dries up, he tells him to go to Zarephath. Zarephath means refining. So now there's a cutting place. Preparation. Your cutting is preparation. Then there is a refining place, getting out anything. So nothing but pure gold, pure silver comes forth. It requires fire, heat to refine. So some of y'all being cut, some of y'all being feeling the fire, feeling it. It's preparation, y'all. Why? Because you got a Mount Carmel to stand on. And in God's timing, when he knew there's this point where Elijah is focused on me only and nothing in him that's going to stand in the way of accomplishing what I need accomplished, he appears back before Ahab. He's standing before 450 prophets of Baal, and he's declaring this. He asked this question, how long? This is Israel. They should know who God is, and they're worshiping some idol. Do you recognize that you have been called to stand before some Ahabs? You have been called to stand before some Jezebels. You have been called to stand before those who have been worshiping idols and created beings and all of that crazy stuff that's out there on yours in your sphere of influence, and declare, be able to stand and say, okay, if Yahweh is God, serve him. If New Age and all of that stuff that's associated is, then okay, but we're going to have a showdown today, and the true God is going to stand. That was the other word that the Lord gave me. The shake-up and the showdown. So we see everything shaken up all around us. We see everything shaken up. And what happened in Israel last week was just another part of the shake-up. Because when they attacked Israel, God said, the shake-up continues. But during this time of shake-up, one, our position is to pray. Two is to allow God to do the preparation, he said, because you got to show up for the showdown. Show up for the showdown, and it's going to require boldness. It's going to require boldness. I want to give some definitions here, if I can find my definitions. All right. Boldness, a lack of hesitation or fear in the face or risk of danger. Refusal to be held back by the opinion or judgment of others. I'm gonna let that just kind of sit right there for a minute. How many are being held back from stepping into what God fully has for you? In the place that God has it for you, because you're too concerned about what other folk gonna think. refusal. Boldness is my refusal to be held back by somebody else's opinion or how they may judge me. God said, coming into this month with boldness, he said, no apologies necessary. Sorry, not sorry. I don't have to apologize for who I am. I will boldly own all that God has created me to be. I don't have to apologize for how God has wired me. He's wired me the way he's wired me to reach a people that only I can reach, in a place where he has assigned me. So I'm not apologizing because I teach this way or I sing this way or I do. I don't have to apologize for what I know, the gifts that God has given me. There was a time in my, when I was a kid, and I was always the first. You know, I'm going to learn it first. I'm going to be the best. And then somewhere I began to shrink back because my thing wasn't so much I care about your opinion other than I just didn't want to show you up anymore. I didn't want to show other people up. I didn't want people to think that I thought that I was better than them because I could do some things or I knew some things or whatever. So I shut down, just blend into the background. And then I was talking to one of the mothers of our church, Mother Clark, love her. And I had transitioned here already, but I would check on her. And this particular day I called her, she would call speaking in tongues daughter, I was just thinking about you. Every time I called, she was just thinking about me. And this particular day, she said, God said, you've got dazzle in your bold and you're this. And I'm thinking, who are you talking to? Who? He said, and she said, but you hide it all because you don't want people to think you think you're better than they are. And God said, stop it. Stop it. And when I look back, that behavior that started when I was 5 or 6 had carried over to adulthood. Like I should be ashamed of what God has given me or what I knew or how, any of that stuff. God's, and I'm telling you, if you're doing that in this place, stop it. You are who he called you to be. You're the way he created you. You're gifted the way he created. Don't look at somebody else's gift that may be similar to yours and wonder, but I can't do it like that. You're not supposed to do it like that. I don't sing like, I used to say, God, why didn't you give me Yolanda Adams' voice? Why do I sound like Sandy Petty? And he said, you accomplished, this is what happened. We're in Dallas at the International Worship Institute. Apostle John's song, Show Me Where You Are Today, was one of the top 10 worship songs for that year with the Institute. So we were going to minister the song that last night. We got hundreds of people from all around the world. People I knew said, these people can sing circles around me. And after the rehearsal, I went back to my room. I said, God, I can't do this. I was about to call Apostle John. I said, you're going to have to find somebody else to sing this song. I can't do it. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't. And if you're singing, you know you got to be able to breathe. And I'm shaking, my hands shaking, my knees shaking, my lips quivering. I said, I can't do it. But before I picked up the phone, Holy Spirit said, it's not about whether they can sing better or worse than you. It is the sound that I've given you that I want to hear. No one can do it that way. So you just remember who you are and open your mouth and sing. And I'm singing, hands shaking, because I remember saying, Apostle John, pray for me. We're standing backstage. And he said, I don't understand. Did you sing all the time? I said, not like this. But I had to remember who God created me to be and what he gave me. And my voice does something that Yolanda Adams' voice can't do. She could do all of that stuff, but it doesn't matter. God said, I got a sound I'm listening for. I got a thing I'm listening for that only you can do. Jennifer, he's saying, I've given it to you this way because only you can do it the way I've given it to you. I don't care who does what kind of way. you step out boldly and who he has created you to be, and you do it the way he's given it to you, and it's going to impact the people that he has called you to impact. I'm not called to impact everybody. I'm not called to minister to everybody. I'm not called to do any certain things for everybody. I'm called to a specific people that God has prepared for what I have. You are called to a specific people to do what God has called you to do, the way he's given it to you to do it. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. God has not given you a spirit of timidity. The spirit of God does not make you afraid. It says, I'm a boldly be who God called me to be. I'm going to boldly do what God has called me to do. I'm going to do it in excellence. I'm going to do it through the power of God. It's not me. It's all by his grace anyway. And I'm going to sing the song he gave me the way he gave it to me. I'm going to teach the way he gave me to teach. If I preach, I guess I'm preaching. If I preach, I'm going to preach the way he told me to preach. I'm going to write the books, and I'm going to prophesy, and I'm going to lay hands on the sick and expect that they're going to recover, because God said I could do that. And that's what he's saying to you. Boldly. Boldly. It said the Sanhedrin beheld their boldness. One translation puts it this way. Let me see if I can, and I'm going to wrap it up. The Sanhedrin were captivated by the bold and articulate outspokenness of Peter and John. They were particularly intrigued by the fact that these men were illiterate compared to their own, the people in the Sanhedrin, great learning as scribes and professors of the law. They just could not get over the marvel of it all and could only conclude that these men were close companions of Jesus. So by your speech and by your actions, are people around you saying, oh, she must be a close companion of the Lord. Oh, he must be a close companion of Jesus. When you show up on your job, are people saying, I know you're a companion of Jesus. When you show up at the family reunion, are people saying, ah, he's a close companion. He's been spending time, like at the heart. They have the same heartbeat. Or are they saying, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And then it said, they could not get over the marvel of it all and could only conclude that these men were close companions with Jesus. And here they were, confronted by the healed cripple, which left them speechless. I cannot deny what they have done, because here's the proof. Is there proof that you're his close companion? So they tell him, you know the story, don't preach in Jesus' name. Go, you know, and they send them on their way. And they make this bold declaration. I don't know if it's right on your behalf to obey man or to obey God, but for us, we don't have a choice. We have to talk about what we've seen and what we've heard. So we know. They go back. They tell everybody what happened. And I love the way they pray this prayer. And then we're going to wrap this up. Acts 4. Starting with verse, I don't want to say this, let me go, let me get here. I love, you know, how many of you have like the real Bible and then all the other Bibles you have? So your real Bible is the one that just kind of opens the stuff and it's got all the markings in it, and it just... And I left my real Bible right by the door this morning. So this is a Bible I had in my office, and it's not cooperating fully with me because it's not the real Bible, right? So let's go. Let's look here. They go back. They tell them, and the first thing they do with this prayer is they worship God. They acknowledge who God is. They declare, and then they quote some scripture. And then this is what it says, starting with verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. That's it. I'm not spending 20 minutes telling God what the problem is, giving him every detail like he doesn't really know. All they say is, behold their threats. They're trying to threaten us again. Now, this is what we want you to do. Behold their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand. Now, listen. We may speak your word by you stretching out your hand. My boldness, just as Elijah stood on that mountain and said, the God who answers by fire is God, and God backed him up, just as he stood before Ahab and said, it's not going to rain till I say so. It didn't rain till he said so, because God backed him up because he knew he was speaking God's word. And when he stood and said, the God who answers by fire, that's God. Who answered by fire? His Yahweh answered by fire, because he's going to back his word because we are bold enough to declare it. Bold enough to declare it. And I'm just going to stand back and watch Elijah watch all the antics. They cut and they jump and they run. It's days pass and he's like, oh, okay, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. He's just taunting them. And then he makes it almost impossible. He pours water on top of water on stuff that's not supposed to burn. And prays a simple prayer. He's not yelling. He's not jumping up and down. He don't have to cut himself. He's not doing any of that stuff. He just prays a simple prayer. And shoom, fire descends from heaven. They pray a simple prayer. They threatening us, grant us boldness. Notice what they didn't say. They didn't say, make them stop. Didn't say, make them stop. They said, they're threatening us, so give us boldness. Give us boldness by you stretching out your hand to heal, by you doing signs and wonders through us to show everybody you really are who we say you are, that Jesus really is who we say he is. That's what they said. So 29, and with great power, so 20, I'm getting ahead of myself. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? With boldness. Continually being filled with Holy Spirit. Continually keeping our focus on him and not the situation or the people or the threats or any of that. Continually being bold enough to own who we are and not be ashamed or feel we have to apologize. Bold enough, Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly to the throne. So we go boldly to the throne and we pray bold prayers. That's what God was also saying. Pray bold prayers and expect that a bold God is going to answer boldly and do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think or dream or imagine. And I like that, and I'm going to end. In Ephesians, we translate it grammatically correct to translations have said exceedingly, but in the King James, I love it because it says exceeding abundantly. So I have abundantly, and then there's exceeding abundantly. There's more, there's what I think, then there's an abundance to what I think, but then there's an exceeding abundantly. It's flowing over. So God said, I need you to pray like prayers like you've never prayed before. So out with faith like you've never exhibited before, and expect that I'm going to do things boldly, that I'm going to exceed your expectation when you pray bold prayers. Receive the grace to just be who God created you to be. Do what he's called you to do. Speak his word in wisdom. When we looked at that verse in Timothy, it said one of the translations for discipline or sound mind was wise discretion, wise discernment. Be wise, but be bold. Be wise, but be bold. That's where we see things shift and change. Take your rightful place. Don't back down. Don't be afraid. Don't be silent. And watch what God will do if you just step forth. I'm done. I'm done, but I really want you to think. Are you continually watering that, flaming that fire inside of you, utilizing the gift that God has given you? Are you stewarding it well? Are you on fire? Or have you just lulled into some place of complacency, timid, don't want to step forward, don't want to? It's time, y'all, for us to step in boldness and see what God will do if we just. I got one more thing. I'm sorry, I know I said, but I have to read this. This is what God is saying. My church has been hiding for far too long. And now I'm stirring her, calling her to arise and take her rightful place so that all can see my glory and know that I am the true, the only wise and living God. It's time for the showdown. And I'm calling for the people in the spirit of Elijah who will be bold enough to stand before the Ahabs, before the Jezebels, before the prophets of Baal, who through their counterfeits have seduced the people and led them astray to follow false gods. I call forth in this season those who in the spirit of Elijah will stand before leaders and rulers, stand and declare with all boldness, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. I call forth the Elijahs who will challenge them and say, call upon the name of your gods and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. This is the day I will publicly show myself as God in the marketplace, in the public arenas, in your family, on every mountain, to those who have contested me and declared that I am not, or that I am simply one of many. I am looking for a body who will declare my word, stand on their Mount Carmel, and believe I am not only greater than any force, but also believe that I will prove myself before all. I'm ready to answer by fire who will call on my name. I am looking for those who will rise up in the spirit of Elijah to silence the false prophets and destroy their gods. Is my body afraid that I will not back them? Do you not really believe that I am all you say that I am? Do you not believe that I am all I say I am? Will you merely profess with your mouths, but not by demonstration of my power and my spirit? Will you continue to make my word of no effect? I ask you, is there not a cause? I am calling forth those who in the spirit of David will come up against the Goliaths of the day, the Goliaths that have intimidated my people to a place of inaction. I am calling forth those who in the spirit of John the Baptist will dare to be different and who will call sin, sin, and call people to repentance. I am calling forth a people, a body who will declare my word and arise in my power and challenge that which is not of me. Now is not the time to hide or to look the other way or to look around and say, it's a shame, and sit content in your salvation when all around you are crying, where is your God? For they really are searching for me. through all the smoke screens that they call agnosticism and atheism and New Age, they are crying out, where is your God? They want to know someone can truly satisfy and bring meaning to their seeming meaningless lives. Someone who gives purpose and makes whole. They're looking for me and being offered placebos. I am calling you to tear down every altar that has been erected in the name of false gods and to build new altars in my name. I'm looking for a people, not a man here or a man there, not a woman here, not a woman there, but a body of believers who will stand and challenge every construct the enemy has set in place to deceive the people. I'm calling for a people who will simply declare, the Lord is God, Yahweh is God, Jesus is Lord. I am ready to answer by fire. Will you simply call on my name?
Thank you, Jesus.
Sobering words. I remember telling Apostle John, I don't get the warm and fuzzy. I don't get warm and fuzzy messages. But it's okay. Will you stand and boldly declare, Jesus is Lord.